Welcome to today's video. A few years back, I wrote this little booklet called Repentance Towards God or Away from God. I'd be glad to send you one if you would send me your address. I'd be glad to send you one. So I'm going to say some things today that's going to be kind of hard to receive. But yet, I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it was the Word of God. Somebody will say, well, you don't believe in security of the believer. I believe in eternal redemption, the way the Bible teaches, eternal redemption. I believe the redemption is eternal. But can man turn away from that redemption? That's the question that we're asking today. Can man turn away from that redemption? You know, in the Old Testament, the word that expresses the concept of repentance is a Hebrew word, S-U-B, sub, and it's used over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. And it can indicate a turning from evil to God or a turning from God back to evil. And we have an example of that in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. It says this, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness back to evil and does evil, practices evil, he will die. He will die for it. If a righteous man that has turned to God in repentance to walk after God and to walk after God's way turns back and begins to practice evil, he will die for it. He will die in his sins. But if a wicked man, verse 19 of Ezekiel 18, if a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, repentance towards God, if he turns away from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he will live by doing so. If a man turns from sin, turns to God in repentant faith, he will live. But if a man turns away from God, away from the faith, and goes back to practicing evil, he will die for it. That's the principle here we find in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 18, verses 18 and 19, in all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable to teach. We can see the same principle carried into the New Testament. I have so many verses here, I don't think there's any way that I can actually get to all of these verses, but I'm going to try to get to a few today. So if you'll turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, but any translation will do. It says, when people escape from their wicked ways, when people escape from their wicked ways of the world by learning about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the New Century Version says, when they have come to know our Lord and Savior and then return to those evil things, and get entangled up with sin again, and it becomes their slave. They are worse off, listen to this, they are worse off than they were before. It would have been better for them not to know the right way to live, than to know it and reject the holy commandment that was given them. They make this Proverbs true. And this is from the Proverbs chapter 26. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a washed pig returns to the mud. Wow. It's saying here, after a person has escaped the pollutions and defilement of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, some people's theology say, well, this person never knew Jesus. He never knew the Lord. He wasn't saved. He wasn't a Christian. This doesn't apply to us. Well, you've got a lot of scriptures to explain. You've got a lot of scriptures to explain. This person knew the right way and escape the entanglements of the world through knowing our Lord and Savior, and then turned away and back to a lifestyle of sin. And it says, if they continue to do that, if they continue, at the end, they will be worse off than they were at the beginning. It sounds like they're going to be lost. It would have been better for them to not have known the right way than to turn back. They have fulfilled the prophecy of the book of Proverbs. A dog is returning to his own vomit, and a pig that was washed, a pig that was clean, has gone back to the mud. I was in a Sunday school class not long ago in a popular denomination here in Rogers, Arkansas, a big mega church, in the Sunday school class, and they began to study the book of Hebrews, but they couldn't get past chapter 2, and the teacher quit teaching the book of Hebrews because it was too controversial, because it was going against the doctrine that was in that church. The book of Hebrews was going against the doctrine that was in the church, not me. The book of Hebrews, because the book of Hebrews was saying things like your heart could be hardened and you could depart from the living God, and things like this. And so it's just amazing to me that there is so many scriptures. I looked at these and I thought there's just no way we can go through all of this. Hebrews chapter 3 from the King James Version. Take heed, brethren. Sounds like he's talking to somebody that possibly could know Jesus, right? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know, to depart from something, you have to be a part of something. Before I can depart from my wife, I have to be married to my wife. And it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. That word exhort means to encourage, and it also means to warn. One another daily. Why do we need to be warned? Why do we need to be exhorted and exhorted daily? Why? Lest any of you, Christians that have received this letter, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's the warning. Sin is so deceitful that it can harden your heart. And then he goes on to say, the writer of Hebrews, in verse 14 of Hebrews 3, we are made partakers of Christ. And then it uses the word if. It's conditional. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, if we hold the beginning of our faith steadfast unto the end. It says, while it is said today, if you will hear his heart, do not harden your hearts. What a warning. I don't know if you've ever noticed these things. The writers of the New Testament use the personal pronoun we. The personal pronoun we means not only a group of people that he's talking to, but it includes the speaker that is speaking. It's used throughout the New Testament, the word we, the little personal pronoun we, a group of people that apostle is speaking to, but it also includes the apostle. All right? And what are some of these warnings? Hebrews 2. How shall we escape if we neglect or set aside this great salvation? You know, again, to go back to this church as I was in this Sunday school class, they were going through the book of Hebrews, and they got to one of these warning passages about how shall we escape if we neglect, or Hebrews there where it says, be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin and depart from the living God. And one of the guys was actually a teacher of the class, a substitute teacher of the class, and he said, well, you know what, that can't happen to us because we are Christians and we are, we believe in, you know, once saved, always saved, and that just can't happen. And, you know, this has to be talking to an unbeliever or something else. I didn't say anything. But, you know, afterwards, I came up to that person and I said, you know what? Your comment at the end of this class destroyed the whole context of what the writer of Hebrews was saying. And this person was shocked. And I said, you know what? I'm saying this, but I really shouldn't say this. Maybe I may be out of line in saying this, but I'm saying that your comment affected this whole class, and it completely and totally took the warnings of the scripture completely away. Why do we embrace? I know why we embrace. We put on our religious glasses of our church creed and our denomination. And because we have those glasses on, we tear out this warning and we tear out that warning and we avoid the message of Jesus and the warnings of the apostles and the warnings of the scripture. Why? Got the religious glasses on saying that doesn't apply to me. So that's like telling your child, Stephen, when he was a little boy, we're living close to a street. Stephen, I don't want you to get out in the street because cars are coming by here every single day, every hour, all the time. You could get out in that street and then you could get run over. And that would mean physical death, Stephen. You would die. You could get run over. I'm warning you, son, stay away from the street. Stay away from the road. But by the way, Stephen, it can't really happen. That can't really happen. That's what we're saying in our churches today, many of our churches. We're saying, oh, there is warning after warning after warning from the apostles to the people of God, but it doesn't apply to the people of God because, you know, by the way, I said the prayer at the end of the book. I'm okay. It doesn't matter. But by the way, it can't happen. I can't perish. There's no such thing. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And if we turn back and turn away from our Lord, there remains no more sacrifice of sin. Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10, no matter what theologian, no matter what seminary tries to twist and change, the warning of the Word of God, the Word of God will stand fast. Why am I saying this? Because the Scripture says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. The Scripture says, we will be saved if we continue in faith and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Notice some of these warnings. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we, including the apostle that wrote this, hold fast the confidence, the faith, and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Until the end. Hebrews 3:6, Hebrews 3:14. For we, including the speaker that is saying this, as well as the people that he's talking to, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast at the end. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we, including the apostle himself that's writing this, sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. That is, if you go back to sin and you continue there, you are trampling over the sacrifice of Jesus that died to pay for those sins. You are saying, and you're doing that despite the spirit of grace that is trying to bring warning and correction to your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven? Repentance, that word sub, it's used over 1,000 times in the Old Testament, means you can turn to God or you can turn away from God. Israel turned to God, and then they turned away from God to idolatry. Let's look at the book of James. This is just amazing. See if I can find this. James chapter 5. I'll read this from the New Living Translation, and I'll read it from the King James. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, if any among you wanders away from the truth, you've got to be in the truth before you can wander away from it. If any of you wander away from the truth and is brought back again, you can be sure that the one that brings you back, that person will save that sinner from death. What kind of death? Spiritual death, it sounds like. And bring about the forgiveness of many sins. What does it say here in the King James? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, talking about all the Christian congregation that this book of James is being written to, he says, brothers, if any of you do err, if any of you do depart from the truth, you're in the truth and now you depart from the truth, and one convert him, means one turns him back around again to get back into the truth, then let that person know that he that turns that sinner, converteth, turns that sinner back to the right way, back to righteousness, back to God, he will convert that sinner. He's turned to sin from the error of his way, and he'll save his soul from what? From death. Sounds like spiritual death. Because he'll hide a multitude of sins. And the way that some denominations get away with that is they just say, well, that meant physical death. You know, if you sin, you might open yourself up to the devil and you could get yourself killed. Yeah, that's true too. You get yourself killed. That's true. But Jesus told the woman that he forgave to sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon him. And you know what's worse than something just a tragedy? Something eternal is worse. There is warnings in scriptures. And we are to exhort one another every single day. We're to encourage and warn each other. Stay away from sin. It hardens your heart. It can cause you to depart from the living God. Let's walk close to Jesus. Let's walk in the light, because in that light, the blood of Jesus, we're being cleansed from all of our unrighteousness. We're in the light. We want to walk there. We want to follow Jesus. We want to walk with him closely. Should be our call to the body of Christ instead of the loosey-goosey teaching that tickles our ears that says, you know, we can really do whatever we want to make our flesh feel real good. I'm sorry, but the kingdom of God has come in power, and Jesus said, repent, accept the rule and reign of God. Have you turned away from his rule? Have you turned away from his reign? It's time to turn and return back to the living God. God bless you.